Okay, let's get into our discussion of Parsha Shmini, Tavshin Pehe, as we continue in the now post-Pesach Parshas Shiurim, and try to get back into a regular schedule. So, Bezer Shmini, next week, Hashem, the Shiur will be Tuesday night, because Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaSmut will be on Wednesday night. So, it'll be Tuesday night, Bezer Shem, the night earlier. So, says the Parsha Shmini, of course, we have the... Okay, we continue. In Shmini, of course, we have the Parsha of the Shiva Samei Miluim and Day 8, which is the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and of course the second half of the Parsha, which is all about Kashrus. So we'll start off with a thought about Kashrus, just a little thought, and then we'll get back to the beginning of the Parsha, getting back to the Miluim. So if you look in the Likutei Yoshua, Rav Scheinfeld from Lublin, in source number 1, he just has a drush on the two simane kashrus of a chaya and a behema. Kol mafres as parsa and malas geira bebehema osoto chelus. He says, shamati bederach tzachus, v'karav la'emes. So those are kind of two opposites. Tzachus is like a little tongue-in-cheek. Karav la'emes means it's really true. But maybe it's a true message, even if it's not true in the psukim. Shezer remez gam la ha'adam. These two simanim are remes to people, to us. Shemishi yesh lo shtei midas tovos eile. If somebody has these two, what makes you a kosher animal? What makes us kosher if we have these two midos? Mafres parsa and ma'alas geira. So what's mafres parsa? Milashon, what the pasuk says, pros l'rav lachmecha. Spread out your bread to share with others. Pros, mafres is parsa, spread it out. Lefros, right, pros lechem, as it's called. Shenosi melachmo l'aniyim. Number one, you share with the aniyim. V'amida shnia ma'ala geira. What is ma'ala to be? Ma'ala geira. Geira, we find, also means money. Means money, right? Esrim geira hashakel. So also, to be ma'ala, to give money to the poor. So you want to be a kosher animal? Share what you have. Share what you have. Mafris parsa ma'alas geira. If we share our bread, if we share our money, that is an adam kosher. That takes our animalistic side and makes it into a kosher being. Remember the Rambam's beautiful lashon in Hilchos Yantif, where the Rambam says, Simchas Yantif is the opposite of Simchas Kreso, right? If we just fill our own stomach with our gastronomic, delicacies and not share with anybody, that's Simchas Kreso. But ultimate Simchas Yantif is when we share it. And that's pros and mala, and that's alluded to in the two siman of the behema. Okay, so now let's get back to the beginning, and we get into the story of the Shiva Simei Miluim. We finally have the Mishkan built. We had the end of Parshas Tzav. We had the 7 days, and now we have Yom Shmini, the 8th day, as we know, a day of joy, which ended up being a day a little bit of pain and tragedy, as we will see. So says the pasuk, as we know, on the 8th day, which is the 1st day of Nisan, Moshe calls to Aaron and his sons, you have an ola, v'hakrev lefnei Hashem, v'bnei Yisrael tadaber limar, goes through all of the parsha, and then we have Vayomer Moshe pasuk vav, ze adavar shetziv Hashem ta'asu, this is what Hashem told you to do, the Yera Aleichem Kvod Hashem. And through that, the Kvod Hashem, the Shechina, will rest. If you look in the Medrash, on this Zeh Adavar, this is what Hashem told you to do, the Rav Schwab quotes the Medrash, Ubutaras Kohanim, Amar Lem Moshe L'Yisrael, Oso Yetzer Hara Ha'aviru Milibchem. Remove that Yetzer Hara from you. Az Vayera Aleichem Kvod Hashem. This is what you have to do. What do you have to do? You have to get rid of a certain Yetzahara. And then you'll be zochet to the Hashras HaShechina. What is being referred to? What's the Yetzahara that's in the context here? Right? What is it? They're about to celebrate. They finally built a Mishkan. It took so long. Right? After Yom Kippur, they gathered. And then it wasn't staying up. And finally, it's going to stay up. Hashras HaShechina, what kind of Yetzahara are they dealing with? Says Rav Schwab. Venira. It's similar to a thought we've said in past. But let's see what he says. Shakavana al oso yetzahara shel dilug al prate hadinim bahatzivuyim mitoch roha ahava. Sometimes, because of the great love and feeling that we have, we skip over details, important details, and we don't follow the rules. And even if you love somebody, and if you love something, if you don't play by the rules, that's going to ruin the whole game. Right? Diluk, skipping over al prate dinim atzivuyim b'toch ravava, b'bechinas ava makalkelas es ashura. Like it says, sometimes love breaks the rules. Remember Bilam and Avraham, both. They both had servants, but what they both do, they both got their own animal ready because they broke the rules. So there wasn't a downside. There wasn't a downside. But here there could be a downside. Ki ava belit simtsume hayira olu lifak mina churva. Because unbridled love without being tempered by yira could lead to tragedy. Right? I'll just add, how many times did Hashem warn them by Har Sinai? Moshe, tell them not to go up on Har Sinai. Moshe, go tell them again. Not to go, I told them already. Go tell them again. Bishah, over and over again. Because when we see the Hashem, whatever that meant on Har Sinai, there would be a taiva, a tzamanafshi le'lokim, to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you can't have that. You have to have the balance. Mashal Amadav Adoma, and he gives an extreme case, but it gets the point across. Li'ima ha'ohevez b'na ava aza, a mother who loves her child so much, so what does she do? U'bihimale liba b'godel ava choveka soso l'cheka. She takes her little son and she squeezes him and loves him and hugs him and hugs him until tragedy happens. Achachoneka says b'na. She has nothing held back, so she squeezes and squeezes until she strangles. Rachman al-Itzlan. Asher amida amyuchedez daika l'ha'im. The mother has stronger love than anyone. Ne'afechas l'mashkes, but that love could turn into tragic if it's not tempered and limited. Machma shalosh shama resen l'hargoshoseha. She didn't put a resen, a type of muzzle to her feelings. Ushlilus hatzimsum garma l'harigas ha'ohuv. And negating any type of limitation led to the killing of the one she loved. Ke'ein zeh nimsen binyanim ruchaniyim. And that's what you have by Inyanim Ruchaniyim, right? He doesn't quote it here, but we've mentioned it in the past. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says maybe that's the beautiful pshat to answer Tosfos' kasha about why we needed to be forced to accept the Torah of Kafalam Harkagigas if we already did Nasa V'Nishma. So Rav Yaakov says, because just the Nasa V'Nishma with just love, that's not going to work. Once you express the love, I have to balance it with the Yira. And he says Rav Schwab, and that was the problem here with Nadav and Aviyu, first of our pshatim. Ubeinyan zeh hayachetel Nadav Aviyu Avron's sons. Shemeirov ava nichnusu laakrav ktoris levanei Hashem shelotzivosam. You look at the psukim, you get the feeling that they were just so excited. They're like, let's go, let's bring ktoris, let's. Wait a second, that's the heichal, that's the makam hamikdash. That's the they weren't used to it, right? They never had a mishkan before, so that was the chet. Av heim b'simchasam, kiven shero ish chadasha, amdu lehosif ava al ava. And all the reasons that they were excited, whether they drunk wine because they thought that would help them, or bora halacha b'fnei rabo, it's all reflective of this idea of the love and the overarching desire that they had, but that was the problem. Skipping down to the left side, on line 8. Achein gam avas Hashem tahora kazu misugelas laveris adam adas kono. Sometimes, right? If we go too much overboard, we have such love, but you have to follow the rules of avodas Hashem. Im eno ma'avir mi libo is oso yetzahara. What's that yetzahara? What kind of yetzahara is unique to the day of binyan hamishkan? That yetzahara. That if we have the binyan hamishkan, and finally Hashem is going to rest His presence, I might go overboard. That's the Yetzer being referred to in the Medrash. Shekefisha teskadal ha'ava, Eitzel ha'adam, v'ritzona likanis lefnim yishuras adin, kelu mato yiskadal chiev lihimalech barabo. You have to ask your Rav, ask Moshe Rabbeinu, ubal eitzaso lishmoa imdavar zehu ritzono yisparach aliba te'emes. And that's what has to be remembered. And that's why, if you think about it, the two mitzvahs of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem go together. Well, we don't just have one, right? You might think maybe some other, I don't know if other, what other religions have. Do they have this type of balance that Hashem wants us to love Him so much, but also to be in awe of Him, right? There are mitzvahs that reflect Ahava. There are mitzvahs that reflect Yira. But that's the Asays and the Los Asays. I think we mentioned, I forgot who points it out, one of the Rishonim. Why are there so many more Los Asays than there are Asays? Why are there 365 Los Asays? There's only 248 mitzvahs Asay. You would think what you have to do should be more. The answer is, naturally, the Ahava flows. You need more guards. You need more limitations when you're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why there are more Los Asays, right? We have to be on guard, not to paralyze us, Chas V'Shalom, but at least to make sure we remember Umikdashi Tiro. We have the Ava, and when we have the Yira, we have the balance. And he says in the next paragraph, on line 23, this also helps to explain what we say in Davening. V'chof es yitzreinu lehishtabilach. Hashem, please help us bend. Bend our Yetzer to serve you. Shalachar Kasha. We already said earlier, V'atishlod banu Yetzahara. V'dabkenu b'yetzer hatov. So what's the extra? Kfiyas ha-yetzer. We already spoke about the yetzer ha-tov. So says the Rav Schwab, V'adei ha-kavanah al-yetzer ha-tov she-tzorach l'shtabi la-kadosh baruch hu. So what about this yetzer? Even the yetzer ha-tov, we have to make sure is in proper perspective. And then he says, okay, I could connect this to other sins as well. He says maybe this was Shimon and Levi's problem. Right? Shimon and Levi also had appropriate desire for kvod of their sister, and they didn't want anyone to mess with their sister, but the way that it was done was too extreme in that way. Too extreme in that way. Then we turn the page, and then he says that, he quotes a story. He said he heard from an Ish Ne'eman. I've heard this story before, that when Rav Chaim Volozhin wanted to open the Volozhin, right, the first yeshiva of its kind, right, because yeshivas in those days were more of wherever in the town had a shul, and near the shul, people used to learn in the shul. But to go to a different place to be able to open up a yeshiva, that was his revolutionary idea. So he went to the Gra to ask him for a bracha about opening up a lajin. Lita Rishus Arayono, Liyase Beis Hamedrish, Betsuras Yeshiva Shaldoras Arishonim, Vahagra Lochize Kotobet Kifas. The Gra wasn't so excited. The Gra didn't like, oh, sounds okay. He did not give him a stamp of approval. The Yatzim of Hachei Nefesh, and he went out and he was very upset. Liachas Ba'Masuyim, after a certain amount of time, Behi Pagsham Shenis, when they met again, Shalu Agralo Talmido, and Krapasachaz Yeshiva. The Gra asked, new? Did you open? The Tamalse, he says, what do you mean? You didn't give me that impression that you wanted me to open. Lo Kibel Asarayom B'Sever Panim Yafas. I'm not going against you. V'chein Lo Pasachti Oso. Answers the Gra, no. Kishabas l'chadchila, when you came originally, you were on fire and there was hislavus, and I wasn't sure whether it was appropriate hislavus, you know, balanced, all Hashem Shemayim, or there was something personal, a little negia. Again, we can't even fathom, you know, this type of purity. But the Gra says, now I see that you were only doing it Hashem Shemayim. And I see you were only doing it because if your Rebbe said so, if your Rebbe, you know, would encourage you, then fine. So now I give you the bracha. Again, what's the message of that story? We always have to try to make sure that our kavanas are l'shem shemayim. And our kavanas are for kvod Hashem and not kvod ourselves. Okay. That gets us going into the discussion of the chet of Nadav and Aviyu. Let's go to two other suggestions. Many of the concepts and the ideas are similar to the explanation of Nadav and Aviyu. We mentioned in the past the Beis Halevi and the Netziv, but each source though gives its own little, you know, little perspective. If you look in the Menachem Tzion, we haven't done enough Menachem Tzion, or Rav Zaks, right, the son-in-law of Rav Tzvi Pesach. So Menachem Tzion says in source 4, Odos tiv b'nei Aaron erkam apayim umahutam. Yesha deos chalukos umnugados. Even if you look at the Midrashim, some of the Midrashim are positive about them. Right, what does Moshe say? Bikrovaya kadesh. Right, what does the Rashi say? I thought it was going to be me and you, Aaron, but I see they're even more kadosh than us. So mitzad echad, nomar aleihem, hu asher diber Hashem limar bikrovaya kadesh. Omar Moshe, achshav ruani shem gdolim imeni, as I just said. Umbeidakisa, you see on the other side, you see Mamore Chazal like a Masa Yamusu Shnei Zakenim Halalu. When are these two old men gonna die and we'll be able to take the torch? When are they going to pass on you already? So how do you view this story? Again, there's so much not written in the text. All it says in the text is they brought a strange fire. So how do you put it all together? So he says, V'yesh levair, ki hanigud hazeh, this opposition, noveya, again, every opposition and fight has to be explained separately. The Korach incident and the misonanim. So what about this one? Noveya me ha'hisavkus ha'tmidis v'hisrotzuses ha'bilti posekes ha'kayemes. This is about the constant arguments and quarrels that happen between parents and children. It's a generational thing. Bein horim labanim, again, at least part of this. That's the emphasis that he's going to say about what the Medrash says. When are these old men going to die? Like, what's that lashon of old men? Why do they use that lashon of zakenim? Like, how old was Moshe Rabbeinu now? Okay, he was 81. Okay, and Aaron was 83. Right? These old men. Right? So, were they so old? So what, that's what he's picking up on. What's the lashon of the zakenim? Bein zakenim olayamim. He says, that was the root of the issue. Sometimes youth, and it connects to our first part, youth have certain energy and excitement, which is good, and we need it, and we've spoken in the past that we always have to have that excitement and energy and always looking forward, no matter what age. Bein mawach v'seichel lelev regesh, and they have more heart than even brains at that time. V'nei Moshe v'Aaron k'faro yuzakenim v'vishishim chachma, v'ilu nadav aviyu od hayud se'irim liyamim. They were young. V'holchu shivi acharik shelibam. V'regesh leiv shemevi l'day eslavus mufrezes. Mibalishitei mechusheves. They weren't thinking so clearly. They were just excited. Altaras haseichal ha'yasher. And that's the Eish Zara. The strange fire. The strange fire that somewhat youthfulness, but it could border on immaturity. And it could border on, you know, not exactly going by the rules. Yitziras haregesh abiladi sheyichrach osam kilu shuyan, as if they were drunk. Right? Maybe they weren't actually drunk. Ubechashvam betom lev. They thought in their tzmimus sherak darkam yanachona. They said, the older generation, they don't really understand. They're old fashioned. They don't do things like it should be done. You know, the new generation, we have to make this mishkan very technologically advanced. We have to use all the modern tools to be able to make it as it should be. Make it as it should be. Ha'isalem azad to kedusha lahatir. And that's why they say, one of these two old men. Right? That lashon, it's a generational thing. And he says, often this is what we have conversations between children and grandchildren and parents and grandparents. Klomar, halalu asher hazikna kata drigsham upaks eslavusam. They're not as excited as what used to be. Ve'enam mukhsharim lios yoser manhige Yisrael. Right? They were great leaders in their time, but it's time to pass the baton. Time to pass the baton, they felt. And then he continues, he says maybe this was the Biryonim also, but look at even line 22. He says, if you look closely at the language of Chazal masaprim lanu, v'kfar haya Moshe v'aron mahalchin baderech, v'nado aviyu Mahalchin achareihem, v'chol Yisrael achareihem. Moshe and Aaron were walking with them on the way, and another Aviyah were walking after them, and Yisrael after them. Amar le'nadav Aviyah, imasa yamusu, shishnei zekeinim alalu, v'ani v'aton nanhiges hador. There's a slight difference. Moshe and Aaron were walking on the derech. Doesn't say anything about leading. They led with. They didn't lead over. They didn't lead on. Right, they led mahalchin baderech, the leader that is with the people. Moshe v'Aaron are mahalchin baderech, shashem hisvalahem, derech ha'torah v'amisorah, v'chol Yisrael mahalchin achareihem. Lo hayu lo manhigim, v'lo nehugim. There weren't leaders and led. Bahalichos olamim heru Moshe v'Aaron, bofan muchashi. They led by example. Nadav Aviyu said, no, this generation needs manhigim. Right, manhigim and nehugim. People that lead and people that are led. And that, even in a little bit, reflects, what type of leadership that they were interested in. So again, that's his idea. Again, adding, and it fits into the first pshat also about a strange fire without any limitations, but he adds the element of age. And finally, the third idea I wanted to mention is Rabbi Sacks here in Lessons in Leadership. He contrasts Aaron and Bnei Aaron. Amazing. Aaron and Bnei Aaron. As he discusses the beginning of Shmini, it's supposed to be an amazing day. Tragedy struck. There is much in this episode that is hard to understand. Much that has to do with the concept of holiness and the powerful energies it released that nuclear power today could be deadly dangerous. But he says if you look closely between Aaron and Bnei Aaron, there's a fundamental difference between how they approach leadership. Right? Look at the beginning of the parsha. If you remember the beginning of the parsha, what does the pasuk say? Moshe says to Aaron, Krav al HaMizbeach. Aaron, come. Krav al HaMizbeach. Right? What does Rashi say there in pasuk Zion? Shahaya Aaron bosh v'yarei lageshes. Aaron was hesitant. Aaron didn't want to go. Moshe says, no, it's okay. Lama ata bosh, lakach nevchart, Hashem wants you. Aaron was not interested in being the leader. Those are the best leaders. The best leaders are the ones that are not interested in being the leaders. Aaron was standing distant. Moshe has to say, krav. Why was Aaron distant? Why was Aaron reticent and hesitant? Hesitant. Why? So Rabbi Sacks first quotes the two Ma'amari Chazal, right, quoted by the Ramban. First, that Aaron was simply overwhelmed by trepidation at coming so close to the divine presence. Right, number one, this is like Hashras HaShechina. Aaron's like, whoa, Mora. The rabbis likened it to the bride of a king, nervous at entering the bridal chamber for the first time. Number one. Number two, as we always know, Chet Egel. Chet Egel. Aaron is always has that in the back of his mind. I was involved in it, right? What even here, right? What's the first carbon? Kach lecha Egel ben Bakal. Oh, Egel. Great. This is what Aaron's thinking, right? That surely demanded an innocence he no longer had. Moshe had to remind him that it was precisely to atone for sins that the altar had been made. V'chulu. Rabbi Sacks even says maybe there's a third explanation, albeit less spiritual. Until now, Aaron had been in all respects second to Moshe. Again, a very insightful comment. Up until now, Aaron was vice. Aaron was assistant. All of a sudden, Aaron is going to be the man. Aaron's going to be in charge. There is a vast psychological difference between being second to the command and being a leader in your own right. We probably all know of examples of people who were quite readily serving in an assisting capacity, right? How many people have give many ideas about how, what they think should be done when they're just assistants? They're not the president. They're not the prime minister. They're not the rabbi. They're not, this is, do A, B, and C. And then all of a sudden they're in the position of power if they ever get there. And they're like, oh, there are other factors involved. I didn't realize what it's like to sit in this chair. So to go from second in command to be the main man, the Kohen Gadol, Aaron wasn't jumping. Aaron wasn't jumping. So whether some or all of these, he says, this is Aaron's leadership. Aaron is not interested and he's hesitant and he's not looking to be the leader. And what about Bnei Aaron? Exactly the opposite. They were power hungry. They were interested, leadership hungry. However, and maybe it was even for the good reasons, L'shem Shamayim, as we said, and they were on fire, maybe. But still, it seems clear that they were all too eager on the right side to exercise leadership, carried away by their enthusiasm to play a part in the inauguration. They did something they had not been commanded to do. After all, had Moshe not done something entirely on his own initiative. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos. So if Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos, that was on his own. So maybe we could also do something. They forgot the difference between a Kohen and a Navi, says Rabbi Sacks. A Navi lives and acts in time. In this moment that is unlike any other, a Navi sometimes has to make game time decisions and change things. Eliyahu Bahar Carmel, a Kohen, he has rules. A Kohen acts and lives in eternity. by following a set of rules that never changes. Everything about the Kodesh, the realm of the Kohen, is precisely scripted in advance. And that was Nadav and Avihu. They failed to fully understand that there are different kinds of leadership and they're not interchangeable. So Aaron and B'nai Aaron, says Rabbi Sachs, were opposites. Aaron was overcautious and had to be persuaded by Moshe even to begin. Nadav and Avihu were not cautious enough, turning the page. So keen were they to put their own stamp on the role of priesthood that their impetuosity was their downfall. These are the perennially the two challenges leaders must overcome. The reluctance to leave, why should I get involved? And even the greatest were reluctant to lead. Moshe didn't want to, Yishayo, Yirmiyo, Yonah, all of them. All of them. Then he has this amazing line. Homo sapiens contain many backseat drivers who know better than those whose hands are on the steering wheel. Put them in a position of leadership and they could do great damage. So we have to recognize, leaders are not the ones that ever wanted to be the leaders. In the end now, Nadav and Avihu were surely great people. The trouble was that they believed that they were great people. I mentioned in the past that one of my Rebbeim in Smicha once said, a rabbi has to take his job very seriously, but not to take himself so seriously. Meaning the position that you represent to the outside world and to your congregation, you take that very seriously. But don't take yourself so seriously. That's exactly what he's saying. They were not like their father Aaron, who had to be persuaded to come close to the altar because of his sense of inadequacy, right? The only thing Nadav and Avihu lacked was a sense of their own inadequacy. And at the end, people do not become leaders because they are great. They become great because they're willing to serve as leaders, right? And that's a third idea about Nadav and Avihu. So we had number one, we had the thought of the Rav Schwab, a love without borders, right, and limits. We had number two, maybe it was an element of youth versus the older generation. That was the Menachem Sion. And finally, Rabbi Sachs, jumping at leadership is not something that that we look fondly about. Okay, so what happens? So we know it's tragedy strikes, and Nadav and Avihu are cut down, are burned. So Moshe says to Aaron, Bikrovaya Kadesh, and then Moshe calls to his cousins. Vayikra Moshe el Mishael ve'el el Tzafan b'nei Uziel. Uziel and Amram were brothers, right? And therefore, Mishael and el Tzafan were Moshe's cousins. So Moshe calls to them and says, Kirvu su'as achichem, take the bodies and deal with the bodies properly. Many mefarshim, the Rishonim already are bothered. You know, why couldn't, the Shiva Krovim? So why couldn't the other two brothers, Elazar and Isamar, deal with them? Why do you have to get the cousins for? As they dealt with, maybe the day that you're, there's a Balei HaTosfos, the first day that you're anointed, maybe you have the status of a Kohen Gadol. Okay, but deal with them. Deal with the mace. If you look in the Torah HaMincha, the Torah HaMincha is a Rishon. He's a Talmud of the Rashba. He's from that generation. On Chumash, you have it there from Lopiansky Sefer on Yisodi HaTorah. He quotes this Torah HaMincha. Who quotes, there's an interesting dialectic in terms of how Judaism deals with death. And it's reflected here. In a word, we stay very far away from death. Death is the source of all tuma. Right? A kohen can't become tame. But on the other hand, we are very, very makbid about kavod ames. So you have these two opposite kind of obligations and hashkafas. We stay very far away from death, but we do everything we can to treat the dead with utmost respect. How do those two come together? That's what he's going to say. Umikam lamanu, he writes. Shetzarech, source number nine. Shetzarech adam livkosu l'sabal ameso. V'likro'al l'gadol sayar rosho. Right, he quotes what they weren't allowed to do. That's what we have to do. Next paragraph. V'yish pekan makom l'shol. Shrei matzinu. We do not involve ourselves with the dead, right? We have all the magic issues and the nichush and calling things up from the dead and going into cemeteries, right? That's not what we're about, right? We don't celebrate death. And we have even Tuma, a Kohen, can't even go into a cemetery. Shkola Tumas, Dailam, Harif Shemesh, Vitfila. We know all other types of Tumas are mostly for one day. Ubitumas Hamesa, Rach Shivas Yamim, 7 days. Hazar Shlishi Vishvi, you need the sprinkling of the Paraduma. So you see from there that we do everything we can to distance. Shitzorach Lisrachik Ma'od, Mitumas Hames. Shimlo Yelo Efer Para, Tame Ye'o Tumasabo. You can't go into the Mikdash, you can't eat Kachim. You have any connection? Ukshetachkar alikarm yisodam, and when you think about it, though, but the idea of kavod ames and being so involved in a mace, and the concept of mace mitzvah is the opposite, but it really works with. Ki chiyuv hisaskus b'mace v'chiyuv hakavod hu mitzad hagmul v'chesed. Why do we have to have such kavod ames? For a number of reasons. Number one, he writes. Number one, we have a karas hatov. Right? If somebody, does something for you for so long, so like our body helped us out for 120 years, we have to thank our body. Right? And if the person can't thank the body himself, so everybody else thanks on his behalf. Afilu ana muetes. Kamosh vatsina batara lo sisei mitzri. Right? It's Egyptians let you live in Egypt for a little bit. Kigera yisav artso. Hayine bebrei hanana muetes. A little, hosting in Mitzrayim. We have to act properly with them. So our body hosted us for all our life. So we have to make sure we have hakaras hatov. Number one, va'od sheyesh lenefesh da'aga ve'itzavon. Kabbalistically, v'neshama is upset and suffers when it sees the body not being dealt with properly. It's a disgrace. And therefore, the neshama is concerned and wants to make sure that the body is taken care of. But finally, even though we stay far away from the dead body and tumas meis, we deal with it with kavanah meis because that reflects our belief in tchias meis. Va'ocha kavanah meis ma'ames eitzel ha'hamon tchias meisim. Right, Rachmana Litzlan, the idea of a cremation basically means I don't believe in anything in the future. It's done. Life is finished. Let's destroy any remnant of life. And we strongly stand up and say, no. That's exactly the point. We don't cremate because we believe in the next step. We believe there's a future stage where this body is going to come into use again. What do we say right after we bury? We say the special Kaddish, which talks about Tchias HaMesim. V'osha kavad ha-meis ma'ameis eitzel ha-hamon Tchias HaMesim shu yisod ha-Torah kim hayu roim shemashlichan ha-meis kinevela hamutelas ba'ashpa. If we would see that you just throw the body into the garbage, lo hayu maminim kol ha-pa Tchias HaMesim. We're done, nothing, yet. What are you treating it with any kavod? Shayu omrin ma'yitaron l'nevelas ha-adam and ha-behema. What value is it? V'yachshav sharom sharochetzin. We wash. Umevasmen ames. V'karchano. So we wrap it up properly. We treat it with kavod because we know it has a future tafkid. Ya'aminu mepnei sheim asidim lehislabesh ba'or ubasar va'atzamos. It's all going to come back. Kamo sheim achshav mechabdim oso. V'osanos kol ha-kavod hazeh. Because we believe in it. So if you put these together, says the Taras HaMincha, Rabbi Yaakov Skili is his name. Again, a Talmud HaRashba. Yes, we stay far away from a mace, but when we deal with the mace, we give it the utmost kavod. How do those fit together? Line 31. V'tama archaka mimenu. Kedei shelo yomru. Bir osam is called a kavod hazeh. If we focus too much on it and we celebrate, then that would be giving off the impression of there's a goal here. Ze tachlus ha'adam, v'ze sofka la'adam, v'in lo yitron achir. If we celebrate, amr Torah no give meis l'nevesh adam, no, realize, life's about life. Shenevei laso guru p'chusa, shivatayim, yinev lasa behema, lo hodia she'en ze tachliso v'she'ero, kiyem lo she'er achir, v'o nefesh v'ikvodo. We recognize that if you spend too much time with the body, then that would reflect that you don't think that the ikar is the neshama. That's not in the body anymore. And the neshama is now with HaKadosh Baruch Hu next to the Kisei HaKavod. So that's why we stay away. So we deal with the body properly because of Tchias HaMesim and because of Hakaras HaTov and all the reasons, but we don't focus too much on it, and we even distant it because we emphasize that the neshama that was in the body is obviously the ikar part of life. Okay, so after the death of Aaron, so what does Moshe tell them? Moshe goes to Aaron and his sons, and he says to them, make sure you eat the karbanos. Make sure you eat the karbanos. I know you're owning him, but these are special karbanos. Make sure you eat them. Take the mincha, v'chlu matzos, and chazei atzufa, and take the shlamim, and make sure you eat the shlamim. And he doesn't say anything about the chatos. And that was the machlokas. Right, as Chazal say, there were three carbon chatoses that day. The chatos Rosh Chodesh was the one that was argued about. Moshe told him to eat all the karbanos. And Moshe sees that the carbon chatos Rosh Chodesh was burned. Right? So he says, what's going on here? Why is it burned? So what does Aaron HaKohen say? Aaron says, fine, I'll eat the special karbanos for the miluim. But I didn't know I was supposed to eat this. This is a carbon ladoros. A noni can never eat a carbon Rosh Chodesh. And Moshe says, okay, you're right. Moshe was masking. So all of that is in the Torah Shebal Peh. Because Moshe in the Psukim say, was it Nifsal, Beyotze? Did its blood go in? Is it possible for any other reason? And what does Aaron answer? Pasuk Yutes. Vaydabar Aaron el Moshe. Hina yomek grivos chatazim ezolazim avnei Hashem. I gave the karbanos today. Vatikrena osi ka'ele. And it happened to me like this. V'yachalti chatas hayom. Hayita ben Hashem. If I'd have eaten the chatas, would Hashem would have been happy? The Zayin Latorah of Sarotskin is bothered by one letter in this pasuk. Vatikrena osi ele. This happened to me. What does it mean, ka'ele? Vatikrena osi ka'ele? Like these things happened to me? What is that letter? That's what he's bothered by. Shouldn't the pasuk say, vatikrena osi ele? This is what happened. What's the ka'ele? So he quotes, Lama lo nomar ele. So he quotes from his father-in-law. Shemadi pekado shemarichami, hagon amiti. He quotes from Rabbi Eliezer Gordon, who was one of the Rosh Yeshivas of Tells, 1841 to 1910. So he quotes, a yishuv nifla. What is the kaf? The ka'ele. He says, we know the Gemara tells us, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, let's say somebody's father is doing an Avera. And I see him doing an Avera. Al yomar lo, Abba, avart al divrei Torah. I'm not allowed to say, even if it's true, Abba, you're wrong. Abba, you are making a mistake. I'm not supposed to do that. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to bring a similar case and ask him about it to try to get him the message that, you know, this is, you know, what he's doing wrong. Ela omer lo abba, mikre kasa batorah. There's a pasuk in Chumash that says this. Meaning not to say you are wrong, but quote something that is parallel or similar. Mevaris divrei gemara, shalav l'shol saviv, she'ela domelozeh, e kasa batorah. Right, what does the Torah say about A, B, and C? Oh, it's similar to D. So you have to bring something parallel. And in that way, the father could get the message without being told directly by the son that he did something wrong. And through that way, the father will understand that he didn't act properly. He'll realize that he made the mistake. Suggests Rabbi Eliezer Gordon, quoted here, that's what Aaron did here. Aaron didn't want to tell Moshe, you are wrong. You made a mistake. Rather, Shishalas Moshe, Shetaba Razu, Shiladomilazek, Ka'ela, like this one. If something like this would have happened, right? None of this is in the text. But Aaron HaKohen must have given a similar case. He said, if I would have done the Avodah like this, what would be the halacha? And whatever Moshe gets the message, Moshe says, okay. Moshe says, Vayishma Moshe Vayita Beinav. And again, Yishma, if you remember, Shama in both in English and in Biblical Hebrew. Sometimes can mean hear, and sometimes can mean accept. Nasav and Ishma. right, in English. Now I hear it. No, I hear it. I heard it before. Now I understand it. Now I accept it. So here too, Vayishma Moshe. Moshe hears the parallel case that was brought, and he realizes it. Achahoda Moshe Sheshama V'Shachach Osheta Kimevuar B'Toras Kohanim. So he says that's what the Ka Ela is. And then he continues and says he thinks he has another raya to this, that it says Hain. And it continues, we're not going to read that, but he thinks that there's another raya, part of the other language fits into this idea. Okay, that's the kaf. Kashrus. Let's get back into kashrus for the last two thoughts. So, first of all, if you look, we know the Torah gives examples of those animals that have one simin tahar and one simin tameh. Which, if you remember from the Klei Yakar a couple years ago, that makes them even worse, that they try to hide it. But the Pasuk says, Koma versus Parsa Vashash Yasa, you need both. Agazelo Tochlu, don't eat from the Maligim Afrisi Parsa, Es HaGamal, the Shafan, the Arneves, and the Chazir. So if you look at these psukim though, and the Torah tells us that by each one it has one simen and not the other, but there's a difference in tense. I think we might have discussed this in somewhere years ago, but wasn't in my records. By the gamal, by the camel, it says, right, the gamal chews its cud, but doesn't have split hooves, but it says, ufarsa einenu mafris, which is lashon hoveh, it's present. By the shafan, malagerahu ufarsa lo yafris, which is lashon asid. Slight differences, but why does the Torah do this? And by the Arneves, Malas Gerahi Ufarsa Lohefrisa. That's in the past. Right, so why is it? Why did these halachas, they're all parallel. These three, by the Gamal, the Shafan, and the Arneves, why does it go from present to future to past? So the Shemana Tov here quotes, V'shamati b'shem gadol echad. He thinks he quotes it from the Levush. V'de'isa b'medrash. If you look in the Medrash, these four animals are marames to the four galios. Gamal, Shafan, Arneves, and Chazir. The four galios shall b'nei Yisrael. The Gamal is Bavel, the first one. The Shafan is Madai, going in order. Arneves is Yavan. Remember that fits, because Arneves was the name of Talmai's wife, and they had one of the Septuagint, and that was Greece. And the Chazir is Edom. So, suggest the source, Chedel Kaman, Ubeze Olayafaksuvim. Tihine Malchus Bavel Nebuchadnezzar, Hayarishe Visone Yisrael, Mitchila Vatsof. Bavel and Nebuchadnezzar, they were Rishoim start to finish. There was never a stage where they were good, where they were positive. That's why it's present. It's present, it doesn't. It doesn't, never did, never will. Well, is that Kazav Lashon Hove de la Olam Upasel? Ava Madai, by Madai, right, Parasu Madai, Pam, Koresh, Hayamelach Tov Yisrael. Remember, they let us build the Beis HaMikdash at the beginning. Koresh gave the permission. Later on, things got bad. So therefore, when did they become bad? At the end. Future. Parsalo Yifros. That's when they become not kosher. And Yavan? Yavan was the opposite. Yavan, Hayla Hefech, Debavar, Yisrael, Yisrael. But after we won the war, you know, they dealt with us. And that's why it's past. So he quotes, a little tense difference in the psukim allude to the different galios that we went through and endured. Okay, one final thought relating to the simani kashrus. Again, it's part of a thought of the Sari Alafim. We're not going to do the whole thing because he also deals with the days in the Omer that he wrote the psalm. We're going to skip, but we're going to talk about his yesod that he quotes. And that is there a symbolism, we spoke about this in the first thought, but I'm going to get back to it. A symbolism to the two simani kashrus about split hooves, mafres parsa, shizlash esa, and the ma'ale geira. Question one, is there symbolism? Number two, question two, we just had Pesach, And in the Haggadah, we have the question of the Rasha. Rasha mahu omer. Ma ha'avoda hazos lachem. Remember the Rasha said, what's this avoda? What are you doing? Lachem alolo. He was motzi himself from the klal. Many Haggadahs ask, right? Isn't he the same thing? The tzaddik was also motzi. Knock out his teeth. So what exactly was he asking? And what's the message about the teeth? What's the message about the teeth? So is there symbolism to the simani kashrus? And what's the Rasha asking? And what's his answer? We're going to skip the amalek part of it in the hands. V'yef shalomar, second column. So he quotes from Rav Mordechai Dov, Meharis Nopal, our disciple, in the Sefer Pelayois. He quotes, the Yevanim, the Yerushalmi tells us, remember the Lashon by Chanukah? Kisvu lachem al keren ashor. They wanted us to write on the horn of our oxen, which the Pashup Shah was, those were the Talmudic bumper stickers. Right? Everybody had horns on their oxen. So you write like, you put stickers on the, engrave it. Ein lanu chela b'alkei Yisrael. They wanted us to write that on the horns. But what's the message of the Keren Ashor? So he quotes Al Derech Drush, the Pelayoites, that we know that there are three Nizkei Shor, beginning of Baba Kama. Keren, Shane, and Regel. Keren, Shane, and Regel. We'll never be able to look at these three Mazikim in the same way ever again. Keren, Shane, and Regel. What are them? How are they defined, if you remember? Shane is Yeshana Lezeka. Shane is any type of hezek that the animal does, eating, getting any type of enjoyment. Keren, Kavanas Lahazik. Keren is right, the intent to damage. And Regel is Hezeka Matsui. Regel means regular animal activity. Walking, trampling, banging, anything an animal does in its regular functioning. So Keren, Shane, and Regel. Says the Pelayoites, these three mazikim are in each person as well. We each have these three mazikim within us. Ube'emes, yeshdam shlosha mine hezek elu, v'yetzahara shala adam. Right, and the yetzahara of a person, we have the yetzaharas. Yesh yetzer hara shel shein. Right, we have the Yetzer of Shein. What does that mean? Shemefate es ha'adam lachto shemshi shenol hazeko. Some of our sins are because it's Shein. A lot of our sins. We get hana. It's pleasurable. Shechote l'teyavon machmas hana shelo ba'aveira. Number one. Number two. Then the Yetzer of Regel. What's Regel? Hergo, we just live our lives without thinking. Right, what's Regel? When the animal just walks and tramples and bangs. Shegrim shlo yifakech adam el adrachav. We don't focus, we don't think. Regel is the sins that we just do because of rote, because of not analyzing and thinking. That's why Hezeko Matsui. Derech Hilucho, Lashon Hara, Rechilos Bito Torah, just things in our life that we don't focus on. It's just so much part of who we are. And number three, hopefully we don't have too many of these, Kavanas Lahazik, Karen, where we have Kavana to rebel. We have Kavana to, we're angry. That's what the Yevanim wanted. They wanted us to rebel against God. That's what it's Kisvu al Keren Ashor. They wanted us to ride on Keren, ride on the horn. Because that's what the Yetzirah that they wanted to instigate and bring up. Kisvu al Keren Ashor. But the Torah here is alluding to us that Keren Ashor, that's generally not so common. Hopefully amongst us, we don't have Kavanah Lahazik. In terms of our sins. But the other two are very common. Shane and Regel. Right? Hana lezeka, hezeko matzo, because we don't think. So that's where these two simanim come in. If a person wants to overcome and channel and be able to control his animalistic tendencies, which we all have, because right, we're part animal, part angel. So we have to focus on the simanim kashrus. What are the simanim? Mafreses parsa. Split your foot, your regel. What do you mean, split your regel? Don't just go through life without thinking. Focus. Split two parts. This is what I want to do. This is what I don't want to do. This is positive. This is negative. Split the regel. Don't just go through life without thinking. Mafris parsa. Shekol davar shuosa derech hilucho, tzorech lizbonin ulachalik. Imuratzon aboriolo. Because if not, hazeko matzui. Right? If we don't think about it, if we don't split our actions and decide, you know, what exactly is something that we should be doing, one thing not, so then it's not going to work. And what about the shein? Hanola zeka bi ma'alagera. What's ma'alagera? Before it goes down completely, you know, spit it back up and, you know, think about if you really want to swallow it. Think about if it's really something that I want to imbibe. Tzorach lachzor lizbonim kodim sheyehene. Before you get the hana, right? In letzorach avodas Hashem or not. Says, and that's what it's about. In Mitzrayim, he writes, right? Mitzrayim was Ervas Haaretz. It's all about Taivas. It's all about Shein. And he suggests that's what the Rush is adding. Ma ha'avoda azos lachem. What is this new avoda that we're doing now? Life's about Hana. Right? Shein, Hana lezeka. We left Mitzrayim. So what do? We hake et shinav. We try to blunt his Shein. We try to blunt it and try to teach him that that's not what life's about. Life's not about the Hana. That's a nezek. That's an ava nezek. So we have Karen, which hopefully there's not too much of. Karen, Shein, and Regel, and we have to use these simani kashrus to be able to control those actions and be able to use it in the positive, right? To make it kosher and make it, if we think about it, and so much of it is just thinking about our life and thinking about our actions and what aspect of our life is part of our avodas Hashem, what's good for us, what brings us up, what brings us down. So we should all have the siyata d'shmaya to be able to think properly and realize, you know, what the Yetzer Haras are and get rid of them, and what the Yetzer Tovs are and be able to pump those up and be able to get the most out of each day of our life. Okay, we'll stop.